Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jacob, and...
Elias.
And Royce.
Royce.
We all attend Willits High School.
Today our topic is school violence and the American mindset. In April of 2008, Youth Speaks Out did a show called America the Violent, What Fuels School Shootings. In February 2008, Americans had seen students using guns to kill other students and teachers in four states. Gun critics called for more restrictions on guns. Gun advocates called for arming teachers and other school personnel. Others called for bans on violent video games and movies. In 2008, guns were not restricted, school personnel were not armed, and there were no new restrictions on violent video games and movies. Last month, the mass killing of 20 young children at Newtown, Connecticut's Sandy Hook Elementary School has revived the debate over gun violence and gun control. Gun critics called for more restrictions on guns. Gun advocates called for arming teachers and other school personnel. Others called for bans on violent video games and movies. Deja vu.
These calls for change in schools have proven to be a mixed blessing. While highly publicized and horrific, of course, spectral killings are extremely rare. In 2012, only 33 of the 50,000 violent deaths recorded annually occur in a school setting. And, in recent years, the number of these incidents have actually declined. People still remember the deadly incident at Columbine High School, where Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, who'd reportedly become addicted to violent video games, which led to a spate of failed lawsuits against the companies that produced these games, gunned down 12 fellow students and a teacher before taking their own lives. But that was almost two decades ago. The last major school shooting at Virginia Tech, which claimed 32 lives, occurred over 5 years ago. Despite all the hype and rhetoric, there's no actual epidemic of school shooter violence in America today.
Of course, 32 violent deaths annually are 33 too many. Finding statistics for deaths by firearms is not as simple as Googling a question. The most conservative number we could find for homicides by firearms in the United States in 2012 was close to 11,000. 10,962 to be exact. The per capita rate of murder by firearms in the United States is far above any other developed nation, 7 times higher than Canada, which comes in second place, and only slightly less than Mexico, which is constantly portrayed as a murder capital. These statistics say two things, that there are a lot of firearm murders in our country, and that 1/3 of 1% of them occur at schools. We are going to focus our show on school violence. But we need to remember that there is a much larger problem with violence on our general population.
There have been calls for having highly trained armed personnel at every school in the country. Since there are 130,000 schools in America, this would be a force twice as large as our military has deployed in Afghanistan. There have been suggestions that teachers be trained in firearms and that some be armed at our school. None of the teachers we know want to be on call to take out a school shooter. The biggest question is, what creates the violent mindset in America? We know that most young American males grow up playing video games where the goal is to kill as many of the enemy as possible. This is leading a town in Connecticut to a public destruction of violent video games and movies next weekend. Time magazine just did a story calling a link between video games and the school violence nonsensical. Quentin Tarantino just said that trying to link violent movies to school tragedies was disrespectful to their memory. Obviously, the issue is gun control and mental health, still his quote. Senator Rockefeller had called on the National Academy of Sciences to study the effects of video game violence on children.
The main focus of our news media is describing the violent actions by individuals in America, terrorist threats and events, and deadly wars around the world. A large percentage of our TV and movie entertainment includes violent acts and varying degrees of graphic accuracy. Many say that we've become numbed to viewing explicit savagery. In America, sexuality is censored far more than graphic violence. The opposite is true in most European nations. Still, the question remains, does viewing violence stimulate people to act out in a similar way? Clearly, Hollywood and TV world does not want the answer to be affirmative. When Tarantino said that the problem is not media, but instead the lack of gun control and mental health services, is he making a valid point? Certainly. Countries with severe limitations on firearms do not have a high rate of murder by guns. Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association, the powerful gun lobbying group, has blamed both game and movie makers for the ongoing violence in the real world, as he rejects calls for stricter gun control. Many Americans think that restricting certain types of weapons and clips would lessen the problem of mass murders. Some believe that all firearms should be restricted or even banned unless the user has a specific need. Many thought or feared that President Obama would take actions against guns when he was elected in 2012. In fear of the pro-gun lobby, he has done nothing in the 4 years of his first term.
How about a lack of mental health services? The man in Connecticut who murdered his mother and the kindergartners was clearly mentally ill, though no one is confident about his motives. Were mental health services available to him? Had anyone suggested that he needed help? Could anyone foresee his actions? We don't know. But the Fort Bragg man, Aaron Basler, who killed several local citizens in 2011, was acknowledged to have mental problems, but services were not readily available to him. And he had a serious arsenal of military-style weapons. Maybe there is some truth to the violent film director Tarantino's notion that a lack of gun control and mental health services are primary factors in mass murders. So what we will discuss today are various questions brought up by the tragic murders of schoolchildren and teachers in Connecticut. In about 30 to 40 minutes, we will open the phone lines for your questions, insights, and experiences. We are in the Willett studio, and our number will be 456-9991. Let's all go around and talk about how we felt when we learned about the Newtown Massacre. Let's start with you, Royce.
I was really saddened to hear about the massacre, because it wasn't really an everyday thing. Like, I mean, these were little kids that were, like, shot and stuff, and when they talk about it being, like, a normal school shooting, it really wasn't, because in normal school shootings that have become the average for, I don't know, school shootings, it's someone who goes to that school. But this was a preschool with little kids where just somebody came in and killed them. Pretty sad.
Kindergarten.
Oh, whoops.
When I heard about it, it just seemed like another shooting to me. Being on the internet a lot, I hear about a lot of stuff like that. I don't think the age of the victim really makes a difference as long as they're innocent people. And you're sure it's not a normal school shooting, but yeah, a lot of shootings happen.
I know my first reaction when I heard about it, I was at school, and I didn't really react at first. It was just more the shock of, wow, somebody really did that. And it took me a couple of days to really realize what that meant, that this many young people had just been killed, you know, had been taken out of the world. And I know that, you know, the emotion of it came and went for a while. And then, you know, around Christmas, I started thinking, man, you know, think of all the families who, you know, their children are not having a Christmas this year with them. And that was pretty emotional. But, yeah, it was a really, really terrible thing. So I want us to go into talking about that, but also about the incident that happened at our school, Wilts High School, a couple of weeks before the Newtown shooting. We actually had a student taken out of our school because he had a loaded weapon, and there was a lot of emotion around that as well. What do you remember about it, Royce?
I was actually walking to lunch when this happened, and somebody was like, oh, so-and-so had a weapon on campus. And I was like, wow, really? And I was happy that I wasn't dead. I'm not sure, but it was the first time that I heard about it. But other than that, I really didn't know what was happening.
Is there a lot of confusion, you're thinking?
It was kind of just a rumor at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get as much information as possible.
Right.
And really didn't get that information until the principal came in and talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good.
What do you remember, Elias?
Well, when I first heard about it, I heard a lot of rumors that Mr. Oslin later disconfirmed. And so it was very good that he did that.
Yeah, that was a very essential part of our incident, was the communication factor. Mr. Oslin coming in to all of our classrooms and really identifying what happened, at our school, you know, what was the situation and dispelling the rumors, like Elia said. And I think that was really important in allowing the students to really identify what had happened. And I think the same is true for the Sandy Hook Elementary School situation. I know that there was, initially when the report came out, I remember there were some rumors, you know, how many shooters were there, how many people were actually dead. There was a lot of questions about that, but I think it was really good that people were able to get right to the facts and really look at what was the situation. I think that helped out a lot of people. So let's talk about school safety. You know, do you think schools are a safe place?
I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk. I read a lot of articles recently that people are saying, you know, schools need to be more secure. We need to have more locks and gates and possibly even people with guns on campus protecting people. Or the most extreme I've heard is armed teachers. And what do you guys think about that? Do you think teachers should be armed?
I think you have to really go out of your way. If you want to go to a school and kill somebody, you're going to do that. Sure, locks and gates might stop them, but, you know, still.
Like we said in the introduction, I don't think any teachers I know are really comfortable with having a gun, and, like, big city schools already have metal detectors and stuff to prevent that, and we don't really need it.
I agree.
We also don't have the money for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Yeah, I was just reading about that as well, like, with how many... you know, with how many other issues there are in schools these days, I think that the idea of boosting security to a really huge extent is not really a worthy investment. I know that I could get called on that and people would say, well, you know, you're just disrespecting school safety. You know, do you want people to harm our children? And I think that my own opinion is that by increasing the amount of security just based off of fear, not actual statistics or research or anything like that, we are more or less encouraging a problem to develop. You know, we're building walls and giving guns to teachers. I think we're expecting the worst, and I don't think that's proper for a school environment. What do you guys think?
Like arming teachers and stuff? I've heard teachers talk about if armed person came on campus or something, that they would give their lives to protecting students. But I don't think there should be more guns in circulation, or even at, I mean, you're having guns at school, so wouldn't that have, you know, more guns at school, more issues? Why would you want to perpetuate that by giving them guns?
Right.
And couldn't that money be spent on making the school a more nurturing environment, which could even help with the problem in the first place?
How are they going to stop, like, the students from, like, you know, the teachers have guns. What are they going to keep them on their bodies? I mean,
That would just make the student take the teacher out first, and then wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense. Now, one of the things that's come through all of this and this discussion is actually increased gun sales. I know that in our own, in California and definitely in our community, I've heard of a lot of people purchasing guns just out of fear of, you know, something like this could happen to them. There could be a shooter. There could be some crazy person who has a bigger gun, you know.
They're worried about ammo prices going up, too.
I find it kind of silly since we live in Willits. We're in, like, the boondocks of the United States.
But we still have issues like that.
Yeah, but, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, there's definitely a huge increase in guns in our country. As the politicians talk about restrictions or possible things going on with that, the, you know, sales have increased. There's actually, I think that's kind of the opposite of what people want, of at least what we're looking for in terms of solutions, is more guns around.
Seems kind of ironic that a shooting like that causes more guns to be in the general public.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, really, are they the main issue here? You know, is taking away guns going to help prevent issues? Is smaller clip sizes or banning different kinds of guns, like automatics, is that going to alleviate the problem of gun violence in America?
Well, any object can be dangerous at the hands of a mentally unstable person.
I think that, yeah, that could help, but there are more, you know, causes in there.
What other causes do you think there are?
We talked about, like, mental health stuff. mm-hmm. and how there isn't a lot of help for people who have mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes sense. So when the government talks about possibly imposing gun bans and more restrictions, what do you think the result is going to be of that? Do you think there'll be more sales, or I want to hear from you guys.
Well, if you make more types of guns illegal, it's just going to make more illegal sales happen, really.
Yeah, I would think they'd buy more guns since they're banning stuff. It's like, hey, you can't have this, and then obviously you want to have that, so...
It's like marijuana. Making it illegal doesn't really do anything. People still buy it.
Yeah, it's like anything, really, that's illegal, is people are still going to get it one way or another. But, you know, there's always the idea the rationale that if we make it illegal, at least we're able to, discourage people from doing it. There is the rationale, definitely, that, discouraging people to do it will affect it, but...
It'd be such a big undertaking, banning guns. Think of how many are out there in circulation, how many people have guns. That'd be...
Definitely.
And there's plenty of paranoid people that can't sleep at night without guns.
Yeah. Definitely. So, really, let's talk about mental health. You know, what are some of the issues with that right now?
Doesn't the government have very little funding for mental health stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of times, the more mentally unstable people are in impoverished families, and they can't afford anything like that.
Yeah, I've read there's a lot. It's kind of a circular situation. It's like, we have a really high amount of people in poverty and, whole communities, and because of that, those communities don't actually have resources for people with mental illness, and therefore it just perpetuates this kind of ongoing issue of, well, we can't help the other people, we can't help the mentally ill, and it's just helping more situations develop. But we always have to keep in mind, though, that the vast majority of people with mental health issues are not violent, and they're not going to go out of their way to go and kill people. And yeah,
definitely.
So let's see here. What do you guys think about violent video games? I mean, that's definitely been a discussion concerning the shooting in Newtown, and as well as the Batman shooting and everything, that violent video games have played a role in this. There's too much of that in the media. What do you guys think?
I don't think to people over a certain age, violent video games really does anything to them. But when there's little kids playing these video games and they don't really completely know they don't know the difference between reality and the video games yet, it's more of an issue.
They do have like rating systems involved with video games, like general, teen, mature.
Yeah, but the kids see their big brother playing this game and they want to play it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you think that the rating system actually influences sales or the amount of people who have access to violent video games?
I think it does influence sales for some people, but as a whole, I don't think it does.
So let's talk about what is a violent video game? Like, what really do you think is a type of game that might impact people? Are there any titles that you can think of?
Well, there's a lot of different types of violent video games, but they're violent in different ways. Like Call of Duty, Halo, and Grand Theft Auto, like, it's a lot different. Grand Theft Auto is where you're killing civilians as opposed to Halo, where you're protecting the Earth from aliens, and they still have the same rating system.
I think there's, they put certain aspects in the games that separate it from real life, like Halo, you're a space marine killing, like, aliens. Like, you're gonna come back in real life and, like, hey, look, I have a pistol that's close to a plasma pistol. I'm gonna, shoot a whole bunch of people because I know I can do that in Halo. Oh, yeah, let's get my KD up in life. I don't think so. Grand Theft Auto, that is, it's pretty realistic of a video game, I have to say. And that would be more of a kind of video game that would, like, accentuate, real life violence, because it's basically like, kind of like a life simulation.
Could you describe Grand Theft Auto? I mean, not everybody's heard of it. Fortunately,
it has a lot to do with like crime families, and I know they deal with like an immigrant from like a Russian crime family, and he like comes to America, and you have to do missions to revenge your family or something.
Well, it's different in each game.
Yeah, in each game there's like four or five of them, and you do car races and you do drug busts and you sell drugs and there's, you
kill people on the street, pick up hookers.
Yeah, you drive around, you sell drugs.
It's basically just crime.
Yeah, it is.
And Call of Duty, which is the third one, is basically just war glorification. That's a completely different topic than what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But how do you think these affect, or do they affect people who play them?
Yes.
Well, there's different types of people. There's some types of people that would be more influenced by something like that. So people that are trying to escape from reality, basically.
I know a lot of people who play Call of Duty, they get immersed in weapons more, and they're like, oh, that's an M4 right there, that's a something something another, that's a Magnum. But I couldn't name half the weapons that I know people can name from playing games like Call of Duty.
But Call of Duty would more make them want to join the army than shoot up a school.
True, but isn't there still like a killing aspect with joining the army?
Well, yeah, true. But
that's true.
It's not really the topic.
So
right
how
now.
Do you how do you think they desensitize people, or do they desensitize people?
Different color blood when you shoot somebody. aliens in general. Oh, look, that thing looks like a lizard. When I shoot it, it's not close to killing a human being.
I think people are pretty desensitized in general, without even people that don't play video games. Like, we've got violent everything.
Like, taking blood out of video games. Being able to, like, respond and just keep dying and shooting, and they're not being a consequence to dying.
So it really eliminates that risk factor, you know, if you keep coming back, I mean,
there's no consequences.
Right. So we also see these sort of things in our movies. There are definitely a lot of violent movies out there these days. You can think of a couple in the theaters these days. So really, do you think movies have a similar impact on the youth or in people in general?
Let's go back to Grand Theft Auto for a minute. Like, in some of the older Grand Theft Auto games, what you guys were saying about no consequences, well, in the older Grand Theft Auto games, you blow someone's head off, and then an ambulance comes and fixes them.
And then you run the ambulance over the tank.
But no, just, they make it death seem so unpermanent.
Yeah, that sounds like a great healthcare system.
Right.
You die, and you have to pay for your hospital bill.
Oh, man, bummer.
So that's a consequence, by the way.
I think back to movies, there still is more of a no consequence kind of feel to movies, even. Like, the good guy, he just can't be stopped, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna go kill all these, like, bad people, and you're killing people still. I mean, doesn't have many consequences.
The war movies where, like, one American soldier is equal to, like, 50 of the enemy soldiers.
That glorification is definitely there. Yeah, do you think, let's see here. Yeah, what kind of movies, like, do you think movies have changed over the years to be more violent for the audience?
We were talking about this earlier, and how, like, well, Quentin Tarantino, he really changed how much violence you could have in a movie these days, and how it's gotten a lot more violent after that.
But maybe movies have gotten more violent, but we don't have public hangings anymore. So
that's a good point.
Society in general has gotten less violent.
Right. That's why I know for my part, at least, it's good to discuss the violence in video games and in movies and the culture in general. But I really do agree. I think that we are not necessarily living in more violent times. You know, like you're saying, public hangings, public executions have been a part of human culture for a long time, and those probably have affected people in a big way. So it would be not really appropriate just to limit, or rather just to delegate the blame primarily to video games and movies. So how is our culture violent?
How are we not violent? I mean, America as a culture is pretty violent as you get.
This is a pretty controversial topic, but what about the death penalty? There was a proposition on the California ballot where they would repeal the death penalty and all the prisoners on death row would have to, like, do work to compensate the families of their victims and everything, and it seemed, I read through the entire proposition, and it seemed completely sound to me, but it still got voted down.
I was reading somewhere about the death penalty, and isn't it extremely expensive for, like, each prisoner that goes onto the death penalty? It's a lot of money. I'm not sure how much.
And that's not just for the lethal injection. It takes a lot of money in the court system to make sure someone's guilty enough to be killed.
Aren't they, like, set aside and, like, oh yeah, it's over $1 million. They're, like, set aside and, like, given, like, nice food, right? I don't know.
Some people have been there for years.
Yeah, they're just, like, stuck out there and, like, okay, you're gonna eventually die, but until then, you're gonna stay here because you're gonna die.
Right. So do you think that just by having this available that, you know, you commit a crime, yeah, you're being put on death row, but you're going to be there for years. It seems in some ways like it's almost rewarding people because I would think...
People want to die.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're going to die eventually, but if you're in a prison system where you're getting better medical care than pretty much all the rest of America, you might actually live longer than some people who are not in prison mm-hmm. and not on death row.
If they just had them work and compensate, it'd be much less wasteful, I think, killing them.
Yeah.
So do you think America has a violent mindset? Just kind of going off of that topic.
As America, don't you think that we're just, like, pumped full of violence a lot of the time until we are really numb to it as you know, young adults we are? Have we become numb to, like, violence and stuff?
I think us living in Northern California might not have a completely accurate depiction of, like, the entirety of America.
That's a good point. I think America in general, you know, the history of our country, we were established through a revolution, a violent revolution at that. And, you know, when our Constitution was written up, we put in there a Second Amendment. We have to have our guns. And, you know, at the time, a gun was, a lot of people saw it as a necessity because the British were not completely out of America at that point. There was still the idea that, you know, maybe the British will strike back in the north from Canada. You know, we have to expand into the west to fight Native Americans. There's this whole idea that the country is very fragile, and so there's this great need for protection against an enemy.
It was even a necessary tool. I mean, for protection, for eating, to go out and hunt.
Yeah.
We haven't had an attack on American soil in so long.
And,
well, I mean, besides 9/11.
And how many people, oh, we don't have any food, so we should go out in the forest and kill a deer and bring it home for dinner. No, you go to the supermarket. I mean,
for a lot of people now, it's kind of a novelty. You know, hunting mm-hmm. is a sport. It's not necessarily a necessity. I mean, unless you live really, really far out there. I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe Alaska, it's highly necessary, but right now, it's like you were saying, you can just go to...
Killing wolves from helicopters is not necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, I think in a way, guns aren't really necessary in our day.
And what you were saying about, like, people needing to feel like everyone's armed in case of an attack, but the kind of way that warfare is fought in this day and age, a gun wouldn't really help much.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of people who are not really experienced enough for guns. You know, that's why I know in some of the talk about, you know, we have to have our guns in case the government tries to take us over. I know we were talking earlier about this, about how, you know, one guy with a shotgun is not going to be able to go up against the government or anything like that.
Definitely.
It's just, it's a little out there. But I just saw a note here that we don't really see very many women as mass murderers. It's interesting. Why do you think that is?
Maybe because men are more aggressive, and they have that in their nature more than women, and they're back, they were the ones who hunted and like went out and did stuff like that, and once again, hunting, they use guns, and then, I don't know.
There have been some pretty violent crimes committed by women, actually, like killing their children and such, but...
But, like, mass murder-wise.
It's, yeah, it's different.
Yeah, I really wonder why it's a male-dominated field, in a way. Part of me feels like it's the way that male values are in our culture. Just like people, males are raised to be more violent in a way. You know, there's this aggressive culture surrounding males. I mean, look at football.
Yeah. Or like, I was sitting in class the other day and I have an AP, lit and stuff like that. Or no, it's not lit. Is it lit? No, it's not lit. It's,
just English.
It's English. Shoot, I've been out of school too long. We were reading a comic, and we're talking about gender before we left for vacation. And it was this chick walking into a toy store, and she wanted to get a non-gender specific gift for a child. And it was like, okay, so we have these like super action figure with tank shooting wrist cuffs, or you can have a nice princess paint gift crown set. And she's like, no, I'd like to have a non-gender specific gift. And she's like, okay, well, we have dinosaurs. And she's like, oh, dinosaurs, that's great, that's non-gender specific, thanks. And she's like, well, you can either have the princess dinosaur pack or the dinosaur with turbo laser pack. And I think that men are raised, or boys are raised more violent, because I mean, the toys we play with, they're like guns and death more, machines.
Yeah,
and
they're more expected to grow up to join the military.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and why is that a cultural value?
What could we do to make America a less violent place?
That's a good question.
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, we're all involved with peace work. So, well, it's high school.
You're the president.
And, one of the things we've done, actually, out of this whole Newtown shooting is we actually put up a poster at our school that we encourage students to express their feelings about the Newtown shooting, as well as the incident that happened at our school. Really express anything that they're feeling about, because I know that right after that shooting there was a lot of tension, there was a lot of uncertainty, and people didn't really know what to do with their emotions. So our poster was a way of providing an outlet for that, and... I know that in a couple of weeks we're planning to send it to Sandy Hook Elementary. So I think that's one step. But, you know, there's definitely a lot of talk about, you know, what should the government do? What should these different organizations do to prevent tragedies and to reduce the violence in our culture? But it's also important to look at, indeed, like, what can we do?
I think emotional outlets are very good, because you can't have that much pent-up emotion. And... aren't we as juniors, we're having breaking down the walls, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many of our listeners were listening last time, but we talked about it a bit. It's basically a program that it's actually really effective, and it like makes the students closer to each other. People are crying by the end of it. I've seen it.
It gives a good communication. It builds communication between like the different classes, and that's good.
Right, and it also works to abolish any kind of stereotypes. It's been very effective of that. You know, people that might not be in certain groups are able to communicate to other groups, and really is an equalizer in many ways.
It makes people work together that usually wouldn't even talk to each other.
Hey, Helios, you should describe what happens in it, because I can't remember.
You haven't
like 2 years.
For a few years.
Yeah.
All right, I did it last year, since I'm a sophomore. And we basically, first he had us choose partners, and so we basically chose someone we liked. And then we did this system where he'd have us switch partners, so we were going around this circle. No, and... yeah. So he'd have this really weird system where he'd have us, like, go forward, forward, back, forward, forward, back, back, back. I don't know, the guy was...
So you'd get matched with someone you didn't know?
Yeah, we'd get matched with someone you didn't know, and you'd have to work together with them, and you were trying to... he'd have us doing all sorts of different activities, and then... at first, and then as it went on, we'd start, like, asking more personal things.
So it would, like, build up cooperation?
Like, no, like, he'd ask, like, how many of you have, like, so-and-so, how many, and then anyone who'd had that happen to them would, like, walk across. And
right. It was a way of, yeah, asking questions that people might not necessarily have answered to their friends or people that they're close to. It was an opportunity for them to be free to express things that might have happened to them, like abuse or other problems. And I just remember when I was a freshman and seeing it, it was really powerful because it allowed people to see that, wow, I really had no idea all these things that happened to you. And it kind of put people on common ground.
Yeah, it really shows that we're all pretty similar.
And people weren't as afraid to, like, say these things when they saw how many of the people, like... except some people would still stay back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just a matter of confidence and just trusting in the process. Yeah, so I think that's definitely something that helps out alleviate the tension and the violence at schools. So that's one step. I mean, it's... I think we all can keep thinking about what things we can do to help this problem.
We're going to open the phone lines now.
Ooh.
The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth and teachers in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about school violence and the American mindset. The next one's you.
So do I just ask them that when they come on? Or... I just read it right now?
No.
Okay. So, what was your reaction to the murder of kindergartners in Connecticut last month? Did it seem like just another example of school violence, or had a further line been crossed?
Do you think that violent video games and movies increase the possibility of mass shootings in our culture? Should there be restrictions on violent media?
Would more control of firearms reduce violence in America? Is there a level of gun control that would still maintain our Second Amendment right to bear arms? Should some of the staff of our schools be armed and trained to stop mass shootings?
Should expanding our mental health services be a priority? What can we do to prevent mass shootings in America?
The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo.
Echo, echo.
The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on school violence and the American mindset. Please call soon. The show will be over at 4 o'clock. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Hi, I want to thank you for the great program. You're doing such a good job. I had this thing that dawned on me while I was walking, listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the cigarettes were big when I was growing up? You could get them for, you know, 20 cents a package, and everybody smoked everywhere, in and out. I think there's a certain responsibility that the manufacturers have, of products have, to the public good. And very often, there's tax put on products to help pay for the mayhem they cause. So I'd like you guys to just kick that around a little bit too.
That's
you
interesting.
Know, are the NRA and the manufacturers of those guns taking responsibility for some of this violence that's occurring?
Right. That's a really good insight.
Thank you. And maybe somebody will bring that up. I have never heard that anywhere before. It's kind of like they can just watch as all this violence occurs and pump out more of these weapons at apparently reasonable prices that people can afford.
That's really good. Yeah, I definitely hope others figure that out too, because that's a really good insight. Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think the difference is there's no, like, constitutional amendment protecting cigarettes. So.
Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak, and it's so good to hear your opinions, too. I'm a retired teacher and a mother and a grandmother, and the position I've heard you suggest is that teachers be armed, and that sounds abhorrent to me. One, because the perpetrators most recently have committed suicide in the process of killing others, mm-hmm. and having another gun available would mean the teacher could possibly be the one to bring down this child and live with that.
Yeah,
more guns, I don't think, are the answer.
Definitely.
Regulation and an obligation to secure that weapon in the home in a safe with a lock. The purchaser needs to be responsible all the way for the action taken with that gun.
Mm-hmm.
Video games, I can't imagine how entertaining it would be to have a certain number of kills. You may want to talk about that. Why is that called entertainment particularly?
Yeah, that's a good question for our culture in general, I think.
Yeah. Thank you, and thank you so much for the program. This is an important contribution you're doing. Well,
thank you very much.
How do you think violence could be reduced?
Oh, maybe she's off the air. Anyway, so she said that it's not very entertaining to kill things on video games.
Yeah.
I agree. If you're just sitting there killing and killing, and it just gets monotonous, like... a few like role-playing games on the internet, you just go out and kill the same thing over and over and over to grind XP, get gold.
It's just a number after a while.
They work hard to make it entertaining. Like, they make it satisfying. The little points pop up on the screen, maybe confetti blasts.
I don't enjoy that. I think it gets really monotonous and boring. But I think like cooperation.
And you
want to
achieve a goal.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to go after a goal. That's cool.
Caller, you're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes,
that's you.
Great. There's not much volume coming back from you guys, so I'm going to just take off here and be brief.
Okay.
I'm a peace freak.
I'm good.
I'm a veteran.
Nice.
And I'm a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And I have some observations to make. They're not... being a peace freak and a veteran and a shooter doesn't sound like a mix that makes any sense, I can imagine. But the reality is a lot of people enjoy shooting as a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about hunting. I'm talking about target practice.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's no different than archery.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true.
As far as... gun violence in the country is concerned, I have a couple of thoughts on that. And one is that we're much more desensitized as a society than we seem to come to grips with. And you could spend a lot of time on that. I can remember as a young child many years ago, I'm 77, I can remember going to cowboy movies with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, two Christians, very peaceful, loving people, and in every movie they ever made, there was a knockdown drag out where people were hitting each other over the head with chairs, and shots were being fired, and it was okay stuff to send your little kid to. Now, that's terribly desensitizing, it really is. I was in the second grade when I got into it with a kid one row away from me, and without even thinking about it, picked up a chair, and if it hadn't been for a very alert teacher who was really at the peak of her game, I would have taken that kid out with that chair.
Oh, man.
Never gave it much, no thought. It was just an instantaneous reflex programmed into me by those innocent movies. On a more up-to-date kind of thought about gun violence and gun issues generally across the country, a practical problem that we have is that every state has its own regulations, and the differences are profound.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of California, any kind of weapons purchase is a very big deal. It takes a long, long time to do it. You will have a background check on you, and you will go to a training through a training before you can even attempt to purchase the weapon. Bottom line is, California is either number one or number two for difficulty of acquiring firearms. Taking it a step further, if you want to have the permission and the certificate that would permit you to carry a concealed weapon to protect yourself, that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
You'll go to school for that, and you'll go through a training, and you'll be monitored very carefully by experienced trainers who are watching a lot more than whether you can hit the target or not.
Yeah, that's okay? That's true.
So one last thought, and that is that, tragically, this is probably the most violent country on the face of the earth. There isn't any country in the world, virtually no country in the world, where we don't have some kind of military presence in one form or another, even if it means hiring people from another country to represent us, and we don't even know about it. And the last thing in this, and then I'll get off and leave, hang up, mass killings are possible in many different ways. You don't have to have a gun to do it.
That's very true.
Timothy McVeigh blew up the McNamara building, or whatever it was called, in Oklahoma City with fertilizer.
Yeah.
And killed just a jillion people. Obviously, if you take the guns out of the picture, which isn't going to happen,
yeah,
you can go to school with a stick of dynamite, or you can go to school with a hand grenade. You can go to school with something you've concocted from fertilizer.
Yeah, so it truly is a cultural issue.
The issue is that we have to drill deeper than we're going to be able to on this program and look deep into the hearts of all of us and what makes us violent.
That's very true.
So
thank you very much.
Thank you for the program. You guys are wonderful.
Denied.
Rejection. What was she talking about earlier? I was going to say something about video games, but I forgot.
Okay. So we have a question for the audience. How do you think that violence could be reduced in our country? Or community.
Remember, our number is 456-9991. And the show will be over at 4 o'clock, so if you want to call, don't hesitate. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I think violence in our country could be reduced primarily by reducing the military and by our military and violent occupation all around the world.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's how I think. And taking all the money that's being spent on the military and giving it back to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. There's so much money out there that could be used for other things.
Like,
right.
We use so much of our budget for military, like the most out of any country in the world.
There's countries in Central America that have used all of, and they've completely not had a military anymore and used all that funding for educational systems.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of countries experiencing a lot of growth because of that, so I think you're absolutely right. Reducing the military is a good idea.
Yeah, not to mention that it creates a violent attitude and a lot of people get really psychologically ill from all that violence that is perpetrated.
Yeah, do you think as a society we kind of worship our military? Because I definitely have seen that around school with some people.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay,
definitely
thanks.
Take that
thanks
into consideration.
To you guys.
We could always use more education in alternative powers.
You're on the air.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I'd like to say that military budget isn't going to have hardly anything to do with violence in the country, like mass killings of innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody involved in military on this last thing, was there?
No.
And most of the ones that happened at schools, none of those people are military. Most of them aren't even from military families, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something else there.
Yeah, the military thing is sort of a different issue.
The military thing, yeah, we do, you know, the society kind of worship the heroes and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's the people that loves their country. They most of the people that actually go to war, put on a uniform, is to protect something they love. It isn't because they hate something.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, the best warriors throughout ever, I don't care if you're talking about Cochise or who, they fought because of what they loved, not because of what they hated.
Right. I think the point that some of us were trying to make was not necessarily that, to disregard that and the sacrifices of the military, but in terms of just some of the spending that could be more efficient, and some of it could be put toward education or perhaps mental health, and definitely mental health, because I know that there are a lot of veterans returning who need a lot of service. So, yeah, thank you very much.
One more thing.
Uh-huh.
I agree with you very much on the mental health. The mental health, a lot of these people has raised flags in the past, and they were ignored or overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And flags are just flags. That's all they really are. You know, it's hindsight on a lot of this stuff. Or that guy did this way back, and that should have been a flag right there.
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. So, but we do have to work on that. That's mm-hmm. something we do have to work on.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of these people has put up flags.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Ah, yes, and somebody mentioned earlier that it's hard to hear you on the phone for some reason, and this has been a problem on other programs, so maybe KZYX could get Rich out there to find out what the problems are on the line. That having been said, I think one of the most important things to help people keep from going off in such ways as we've heard recently are connecting to a local community, and that's what's so important about programs like yours and community radio stations, that they remain community-oriented and not get superseded by corporate interests such as NPR. And I'll leave my editorial aspect on that right there, because I think you all have seen the deterioration of local programming go to corporate interests. But I'd also like to point out that the mental health issue really, I think, is the core here. And that there's been a lot of incidents where people are screaming for their need for whatever it is of neglect or rejection or outright meanness, and they don't know any other way to regroup other than to lash out. And it's very tragic what we've seen. It was horrific what happened there at Sandy. Was it Sandy Point?
Sandy Hook.
And interestingly enough, I saw the Batman movie, but I don't remember this scene, but it's been pointed out that somebody in that movie pointed out that very location early in the movie.
Really?
And it's did that lead directly to the violence? Well, maybe a person that was on the edge interpreted it that way, and it's really hard to know what could trigger somebody or not, other than knowing that there needs to be a lot more love in the world. And not so much rejection or bullying or putting people down.
Yeah.
Or maybe mm-hmm. trying to have more understanding.
Definitely.
And that's what's so important about what Dan Roberts does, not only with this, but his other programs and the poetry and everything that he brings to the air, I think is really important to address the compassion and understanding in people. And so I'm really grateful for the opportunity to share that thought with you and to bring it up. But this is the issue of guns, if they take away the guns, there's knives, swords, slingshots, rocks. Are they going to take away all the rocks? I don't think so.
I don't know.
And so the point being is there's no way to eliminate anything that could be used in violence, including, in some countries, they actually do cut people's hands off if they do something felonious, theft, or violence. But are they going to cut off everybody's hands at the wrist to prevent them from fisticuffs, and then they can still swing their arms. So, I mean, it's ridiculous in any direction.
From the next caller.
Definitely.
I mean, it really needs to be addressed on the mental health issue.
For sure.
And treating people.
Okay, we really need to hear from the next caller. I'm sorry. Thank you for your
thank
call.
You very much.
And treat.
You're on the air.
Hi there. Unfortunately, I was just able to tune in only about 5-7 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question is there any way to archive your show?
Yes. There's a website.
Yeah.
I've actually looked up shows on there before.
Yeah,
and
I was listening to my previous one today, actually. It's youthspeaksout.net.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when will our show be up there?
All right, great.
No, and the show will be up there.
Yeah, the
show.
Show will be up there in an hour. If you want to catch the rest of it.
Okay, great. I'll check that out. One of your last questions was, I think it was, how can we make it, the community better as far as nonviolence, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, I don't think anybody really addressed that. Right?
Right.
It's a difficult question.
Yeah.
Well, one of my ideas is, first I want to say the first three things that I, on this subject, is I don't think we should change our constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that we need stricter gun laws. So I don't think that anybody really needs a bunch of automatic weapons. I think that they need to be, doing stricter, more thorough background checks and the safety classes. Maybe somebody might have mentioned that, making them go to safety class, gun safety classes.
Definitely.
So, two, education. Three, better mental health services. And on the education, locally, I think, like, every community would benefit from somebody coming to speak at the schools, from elementary, junior high, high school, on everything relating to violence, not just gun violence, but respecting each other, nonviolent communication.
We're kind of pressed for time right now.
Just, the other big
definitely communication
thing right now in the media is about the woman in India, 23-year-old woman.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We need, yeah,
you know,
we definitely need to...
raped and killed.
We definitely need to address that in our schools and with the young people. So
I'm not on a cell phone. Unfortunately, I'm not hearing you very well.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
Okay,
we're just kind of wrapping up the show right now. So. We're sorry. All right, so that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Jacob, and...
Elios.
Royce.
Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools, Healthy Students, Bronco Project, building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at at willetsunified.com. Please visit the Bronco website at sshsbronco.org.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Wilts, California, 95490, or through the website youthspeaksout.net, where you can find more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Shush. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is February 3rd at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in February.